Hello, and welcome to the High Level Showdown.
Special election series.
That's right, leading up to the 43rd federal election, we're going to break down the issues that matter to you.
Let's go.
Hello, and welcome to the first of the quote-unquote quick and dirty podcast of the High Level Showdown. This being the special election series. Guys, my name is Elliot Tanti, and I am here with Sharon Ryder and Michael.
Hey.
Hello.
Guys, we just finished a two-hour marathon debate watch, and we're going to talk about it. And we're going to structure it like so. We're going to go around and talk about who we thought was the winner of the night, who we thought the loser of the night was. And we're going to start tonight with what everyone thought was the best moment or the most captivating moment as defined by them. I think actually the winner and loser, you can define your own winner and loser categories. This is very loose. And so Sharon, I'll kick it off with you. What was the moment that stood out most for you in this marathon two-hour English debate tonight?
Yeah, I think the moment that stood out to me was when I was watching it and I realized it kind of hit me what Jagmeet Singh and the NDP's game plan was for this debate. Because I think very clearly in this debate, what Jagmeet Singh was trying to do was steal votes from the Liberals. And so it was really interesting to see Andrew Scheer saying, "I agree with you, Jagmeet," many times in the debate. And it was a very interesting moment because walking in, I didn't think that would happen. But I think it was very well played. And that's something that I think, I don't know if Jagmeet Singh is necessarily going to be my winner, but I think that was a really big moment. Like, oh, this is interesting. And something that I think was really surprising for myself and made the debate pretty fun.
Michael, what about you? What was a moment that had your attention and you want to talk about?
Well, I'm not sure about what specific moment per se, but certainly Elizabeth May's fiery passion, which we've seen, you know, we've known her now for quite some time on the federal scene. But, you know, when she's saying, you know, quote, God forbid that the Liberals get a majority, or when she's just blunt to Andrew Scheer, you're not going to be prime minister. And you know, especially when we get to the climate debate, the climate issue, you know, she gets very emotional. She gets very passionate. And I'm not surprised by that, but it still struck me to see a leader that is she's certainly the most invested, I think, of all the party leaders, not just on, I mean, obviously on climate change, but in general, she really shows that she cares. And I think that is genuine.
Michael and Sharon, you guys both sort of talk about general feelings rather than individual moments. And I have a couple moments.
What are your moments?
Well, I did write down some of the barbs, attack that I thought
you were
clever.
You want Mr. Delay or Mr. Deny?
Yes, I wrote that as well. One that I really thought really stuck with me was when Trudeau said that Maxime Bernier says publicly what Andrew Scheer thinks privately.
Ooh.
And that was, they were talking about
Shots
immigration.
Fired.
They were talking about immigration. I thought that was, and, you know, and I mentioned on this podcast before, actually on our immigration episode in which we talked about Maxime Bernier quite a bit, was that, you know, Maxime Bernier almost won the conservative leadership. And now, you know, Andrew Scheer is really making a point to differentiate himself when clearly many conservative voters supported Maxime Bernier to lead that party. So it's interesting to see that feud between them and how they were placed on stage. You know, was it random that Bernier and Scheer were next to each other on that stage?
I believe that it was, Michael. And I would hate to accuse the conservative.
No, and I'm not saying that. What I'm saying, but, you know, it's interesting to see the position.
Yeah.
Right?
So, Sharon, I guess what that points me to, although Michael's identified some moments now, but my initial question where I was going to was, obviously there wasn't a knockout blow. There wasn't something that was really clearly like a zinger that was a win is, and I'm trying to point towards the format of the debate. Is that a function of the format?
I think it's a function of the format for sure. I mean, even just scrolling through Twitter while it was going on, people found it very confusing. And I think it's really hard when six people on stage are going back and forth. And then the way they kind of structured it to really have a clear winner, you have such a short amount of time. And so I really think that it was hard for any one person to kind of shine. So I would agree with you. It was hard. It was a hard format. But when you have six people up there, I don't really know what a better format would have been.
Michael, what did you think of the format? Early thoughts.
Well, I agree with Cher, and I mentioned this to you, Elliot, as well before we started recording. I thought it was crowded with six people. Now, of course. Yeah. Maxime Bernier is the odd one in. I mean, obviously, the Bloc Québécois has been there in the past. So the PPC, this is their first time. And, you know, the addition of that sixth person did crowd things. I also found it interesting how they really, I mean, all the debates have always been issues focused, certainly. But this time around, it was really, they got to the issues right away, and there was no opening or closing statements that we've traditionally seen. You know, Mr. Trudeau, now is your time to close off.
Well, there was a little bit of an opening statement where they kind of kicked it off, like, you know.
Sure, but certainly no conclusion. You know, and that was it. And so I also mentioned to Elliot, there have been debates in front of a live audience before, absolutely. But in my recent memory, usually these types of debates, and even the French one that was held last week, they're in a closed studio and not in front of a live audience. They take questions from Canadians, obviously, but not typically in front. So it almost kind of had a sort of a town hall feel as well.
Getting away from the fact that there were six people on stage, I mean, the consortium made the decision that they did around Maxime Bernier and stuck by it, and you can't really impact that. I think it was well justified. I really enjoyed the way in which the format led to lots of off-the-cuff exchanges in terms of the one-on-one questions, the one-on-one debates, the one leader having to address everyone, and then the open format. I think it allowed for Canadians to see the personalities of the leaders as best they could in a formalized debate structure. I think it also allowed for some really, like I said, off-the-cuff, but genuine exchanges back and forth, whereas you know, a more formalized debate process, things tend to get a little bit robotic. I felt by keeping the leaders on their toes, it really seemed to bring out a different dynamic, and was actually, for the first time in a long time, and for 2 hours of television, was very engaging, I think.
It was quite engaging, for sure.
And I don't think that we've seen that.
And I think I agree with you, Elliot, and it is interesting. I think that it also... the format actually helped, I think, some of the parties that are not in the forefront. So I think, and we'll talk a little bit more about winners and losers, but I think it did give a lot more chance for people like Jagmeet Singh and Elizabeth May to shine more than the two in the front, the Liberals or the Conservatives, Scheer or Trudeau, which I thought was very interesting. And even just having people here from the Bloc Québécois and things like that. It was an interesting format in that way. It kind of evened out the playing field.
If I was going to go to my moment, I would go back to Jagmeet Singh as well, Sharon. And there's sort of this cliche moment that has to happen for you if you're an NDP leader. I think back to debates between Ignatieff and Harper, or Chrétien and Stockwell Day, where they are clearly the front runners and they get into this sort of tit for tat back and forth debate over some minute issue and mudslingy kind of thing. And an NDP leader that was really good at this was Jack Layton, at turning after that exchange, looking to the camera and saying, as Jagmeet Singh said tonight, now that Mr. Trudeau and Mr. Scheer are done with arguing over who's worse for Canada, let me
Actually, and that was
Mr. Delay, Mr. Deny was another example of that too. And I thought that was very symbolic of Jagmeet Singh sort of his early momentum, which I would argue actually subsided towards the end of the debate. Those were captivating moments and interesting moments. And I think one's perception of Jagmeet Singh will be entirely based on whether you watch the beginning of this debate, the end of this debate, or the entire debate. And I that's why I think those were really important moments, because they both happened at the beginning. And I felt like Jagmeet Singh really fell off towards the end. We are 10 minutes into this podcast. We've only talked about moments. So let's talk about winners. Michael, who do you think won the debate tonight, or was the biggest winner, or how did you define winner, and who was it?
Yeah, well, I don't think there was a singular winner. I do think, you know, Justin Trudeau didn't take any significant hits. Because so that being said, I'm not really sure if this debate is going to move the dial in any way towards any party. And as we know, as it stands, 2 weeks away from Election Day, the Conservatives and Liberals are pretty much neck and neck. And I'm not sure that this debate is really going to sway things in any particular direction for one party. So I don't think there's been a winner. But I do think Trudeau certainly did well, and he didn't take any particular hits. I do think, though, that the leader of the Bloc Québécois is a winner in the sense that, you know, certainly the Bloc Québécois is there to present the interests of Quebec. And I certainly got that sense whenever he spoke and whenever he questioned to put Quebec at the forefront. And so he's doing what he's supposed to do. He's representing his province and putting his province's interests ahead. And I think, especially because the NDP is struggling in Quebec and are at jeopardy of losing many of their seats there, you know, the Bloc Québécois has presented themselves as that alternative to the NDP in that province. And one of the quotes that I wrote down, actually, that Yves-François Blanchet said to Andrew Scheer was when they were talking about SNC-Lavalin for a brief period, Blanchet sort of accused Scheer of saying that all of Quebec is corrupt. If your views on this SNC-Lavalin case, you're inferring that all of Quebec is corrupt. That's not really a good thing for Andrew Scheer, you know, in the eyes of Quebec voters, a province that he needs if he wants to form a government. So
I think, sorry, Michael, let you finish.
I was going to say, so I don't think there's a winner. I think Trudeau did very well. He didn't take any big hits. And I think Yves-François Blanchet did very well for what he's there for. He's not there to be prime minister, and he can't be, right? They only run candidates in Quebec. But I think he did very well. I was actually impressed with him.
I think the leaders on the stage sensed his strength and actually started to go after him in the last quarter of the debate. For that exact reason, I think he was strong and people recognize that. So I'd agree with you. Sharon, on your side, who did you see as the winner? Who won what they needed to win? And how do you
defining a winner is really hard because I think everyone comes in at a different place. And so I generally agree with Michael. I think being the party in power is really hard in a debate because really all you can really reinforce is what you've done. And you have a record, right? So people can really easily attack, you know, things that you've actually done rather than the others where, you know, it's promises or dreams or hopes. So that's really interesting. So I think when I'm judging a debate, I think about what the strategy should be maybe for each person and how they came across in terms of gaining ground based on their strategy. And I said it before, but I really think that Jagmeet Singh really came out strong today. I was really surprised for a lot of the reasons that you talked about, Elliot. You know, Jagmeet hasn't looked like that or sounded like that, I think, since the very beginning of when he got elected as the NDP leader. You really saw, I think, I caught a glimpse of what made people go for him, NDP voters go for him as a leader. I think it was very strong how he, you know, he knows that a lot of people who are going to vote for Scheer are probably not going to vote for him. And so very clearly he knows what he needs to do is contrast himself to Justin Trudeau. And I think he did a very good job of really finding the right moments, like you said, to really say, hey, this is our plan. He although at the beginning it was a little awkward, I think he always came back to his talking points and what his plan actually was or what he wanted to do, as opposed to, I would say, Andrew Scheer, who I feel like struggled in actually putting forward, you know, what they want to do. Most of his comments were trying to contrast or, you know, take stabs at Justin Trudeau, which, you know, for some people it might have been effective, but I don't really think I got the vision of what conservatives actually want to do for our country. Whereas I think Jagmeet Singh did a really good job of articulating or contrasting himself, I think, in a big way to everyone else on that stage.
So I would disagree with both of you. I think there was a clear winner tonight, and that was Elizabeth May. And I wonder if maybe it's lost because she always...
Just because of the fiery passion?
Not because of the fiery passion. I think Elizabeth May always generally wins debates in Canada, and she has for a long time. But this was the first time where I think Elizabeth May enters into a debate in a space that's like a legitimate sort of kingmaker role. And I think she did a good job of articulating a vision, a full vision for Canada outside of what brought her into politics, which was an environmental agenda. I thought she sounded well-versed on economic issues, which she struggled with in the past. I thought she seemed well-versed and was really articulate on immigration issues, another thing that doesn't necessarily jive with the Green Party mandate up until that point. And I think she landed a decisive blow when the conversations emerged around a women's right to choose. And she did a good job of humanizing the issue in herself, just as she does in humanizing all issues that she talks about. She's always passionate, Michael. But I think she did a good job of delivering that passion in a way that was really accessible. And I was really impressed with how, frankly, prime ministerial she looked, despite the fact that just by circumstance and the belief, party exists, that is probably not likely or in the cards.
It is most interesting to actually note the evolution of the Green Party from something that would be considered at one time a fringe party and a one issue party, to having a full fleshed out platform and in a party that is ready to govern, you know. And I remember at one time when Elizabeth May was not included in the debates, and you know, she had to fight to get in there. And now, you know, there wasn't even a second thought. Of course, she would be included in the debates. And I think when we look back at the history of the Green Party and whoever takes over after Elizabeth May, it must be said that she was really instrumental in moving the movement of the Green Party from that fringe Green Party to a viable national party that has policies on many different things.
And I think beyond that, Michael, there was the bit about creating, and it's one of the most powerful pieces of her platform, around a multi-party group to deal with the issue of climate change. Mm-hmm. I thought it was the most accessible way in the history of Elizabeth May, in which she spoke about an issue that she's obviously deeply passionate about, the party cares about. Being mindful of time, Sharon, let's kick it off with you. Who do you think was the loser tonight?
You know what? I wish I could give the loser to both of them, because I think they are the front runners and one of them is going to take, you know, the majority of the minority or whatever, which is Trudeau or Scheer. I would say for me, Trudeau was the weakest to me, or on the weaker side. Well, and I understand that, you know, it is hard, I think, being the party in power and coming into this debate and, you know, having people have specific things. But I do feel like Trudeau really failed many times to answer the questions that he was asked, mostly because I know it's hard to defend a lot of the things that he has done. And so his party really wants to pivot away from some of those things. So, for example, the question about, you know, you bought a pipeline, but are talking about, you know, being more environmentally friendly and energy efficient. Even handling that, I think he's handled that question a lot better in the past. And I think that really, I think he failed to really show people, okay, this is why you should continue your way forward in supporting the Liberal government. And I think even his jabs, even though the debate isn't time for roasting people, I do think most of his roast kind of fell flat. And I think he failed to kind of contrast himself on that stage. And not that I think he lost any votes from it, but I don't think he did as well as I thought he would, because I do think Trudeau is pretty good in a debate. And I just thought he kind of came off as bland, a little bit overly defensive, and kind of harsh, in my opinion.
Michael, what about you? Who do you think was the loser and why?
I would say... I would actually say both Andrew Scheer and Maxime Bernier. In terms of Andrew Scheer, I don't think anything was said in this debate that, as I mentioned earlier, was going to move the dial in his direction, especially in Ontario and Quebec. He needs those. He needs those. And especially Quebec. You know, I mentioned
that Quebec, actually, it made me even more scared for him in Quebec.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Blanchette did a good job of souring him in the eyes of Quebec voters, and that's not what he needs right now. So Andrew Scheer didn't, in my eyes, did not do anything that is going to win him the election in this debate. And and Maxime Bernier, you know, did not do anything to reassure people that he's not a scary person. You know, who was the first Lisa Laflamme was the first moderator, and she read out loud to Maxime Bernier some of his controversial tweets, you know, and Jagmeet Singh, you know, he said, you know, this was your opportunity to apologize for those and say that was a mistake, you know, and he didn't do that. So at no point during this debate did Maxime Bernier reassure people that he's not a lunatic.
Yeah.
And, especially in terms of every other policy, right?
Like, he didn't really present any kind of sound political.
He did a lot of fear mongering about the socialist states and Elizabeth May's, the danger of her socialist program.
He also said that they're the most environmentalist party, but also said he doesn't believe that there's a climate emergency. That was weird.
So. Yeah. You know, and now, again, I do appreciate the fact that English is not his first language. But that being said, you know, Maxime Bernier was a fringe candidate coming in and certainly reaffirmed that he is a fringe candidate with this debate. And I don't think that's going to do him any favors with voters, you know, beyond his own seat.
Now that I think about it, going back, I think the biggest winner of this whole debate is the Conservative Party of Canada, because Maxime Bernier did lose leadership for the party.
Well, yeah.
No, but honestly, like, I'm not going to double down. I'm not going to talk about Scheer. I am going to talk about Maxime Bernier. He was out of his depth tonight.
Yeah.
And it was so clear. But by the end, by the 1 hour, 30-minute mark, when you're really pushing and when it really comes push to shove, like, he was non-existent in conversations on large swaths of issues. And maybe it's because those issues aren't relevant to him, but it's also because it's just he doesn't have a thought-through strategy, and he's just not skilled enough in this space. Now, I don't think you should have been in the debate to begin with, so the actual loser that I'm going to point to tonight, and I think it's a bit of a controversial one, but I have a justification. And I believe it's Jagmeet Singh. And the reason why I believe that is because I think he had a great first hour. Great first 45 minutes to an hour. And by virtue of the format, he was the star of the show. He got the first couple questions. He was the first to defend himself and his policies. He was always the first to go on attack. And twice... as I mentioned, he had big moments where he was able to differentiate himself from Trudeau and Scheer. But not unlike his campaign, he's starting from a place that's so far down that he really needed to be the star the entire show. Mm-hmm. And I know that the NDP will cut the clips from the first hour and the first 45 minutes, and They are great and they are outstanding. And in that moment, if you stopped me 45 minutes in, I would have said he was the clear-cut winner. But I think he really started to fall away as the format became less advantageous to him. And that momentum is a very powerful thing because it can be your best friend and your worst enemy. And I felt like he had the momentum to begin, but it was very clearly evident towards the end that he was overshadowed by the 1v1 of Scheer and Trudeau and Elizabeth May's dogged positions and capacity to engage on all levels and all debates. And it's a difficult thing for me to say because I think I actually really like Jagmeet Singh and I could see myself voting for him. But in terms of if you define loser by what they needed to do or winner and loser by what they needed to do versus what they did, I did feel as though Jagmeet Singh didn't get the ending that he wanted. And that's I would say he was a loser in the debate tonight.
And, you know, if at this rate, they could risk to falling to fourth place in the House of Commons, which, you know, obviously is not ideal for the party.
But that's what he was playing with, right? Sharon, do you have thoughts?
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, obviously I disagree because I picked him as my winner, but I do think in the sense of falling to fourth and things like that, it was interesting, especially on a few points where I think even though he went really hard on differentiating himself from Trudeau, the interesting thing was on so many points, him and Elizabeth May have such similar views, and Elizabeth May used that as an opportunity to reinforce her policies and really set herself, you know, push herself above, I think, really coming out strong. Whereas I felt like Jagmeet, every single time she drew comparisons to their campaign and then used that for her advantage, just was like, yeah, I agree, Elizabeth. So that was really hard. If you're a voter who's not going to vote liberal, not going to vote conservative, and sure as hell not going to vote PPC, if you're like, okay, these are parties on the left that I'm trying to go for, and I had to pick between NDP and Green, I think you'd probably think that May did a lot better of a job than Jagmeet because a lot of their policies are so similar.
Yeah, and I think that that's been something I've been going on with. I mean, I was waiting for Jagmeet Singh some point in the night to just say to Elizabeth May, you guys are just conservatives that ride bikes or something like that, especially when Elizabeth May was going on around like balancing the budget and that kind of stuff. Like that could have been a really – anyway – trademark Tanti polling if they want to use that line. Nobody get at me. Michael, I'll let you start things off. Final thoughts about the debate.
Overall, I mean, it was certainly a very engaging and I mean, if you're attuned to politics, then you obviously would find it more entertaining than maybe an average casual viewer. But certainly I was engaged. I thought there were good moments in there. Overall, however, I don't think it was a game-changing debate. As I said, I would really be surprised if this moves things in a particular direction. There were some good moments, you know, some shined more than others. Some clearly were bumbling, as we mentioned, Beignet, but overall, I don't think it was. I don't think it's going to go down in memory as one of the great Canadian federal debates.
Sharon, your final thoughts?
I think my final thoughts is the biggest takeaway is that the only people that I wanted to keep watching were not the two people or one of the two people who I think is going to probably lead our country and win the election, which is Trudeau and Scheer. So my final thought is I think both of them kind of fell flat. And that's, I think, a little disappointing as someone, not necessarily a voter because I can't vote, but it would have been great to see the two clear, you know, front runners, at least one of them, really step into that spotlight and shine and really show Canada this is why I am leading a leading party. And that it just really fell flat for me for both of them. And so I think that was a little disappointing.
By my count, we have three different winners and 2.5 different losers. Guys, I think we can adequately say this was a draw tonight. Thanks so much and talk to you guys soon.
Good night.
Deuces.